Hi, welcome everyone. Thanks again for joining. We are continuing a rather larger topic that we've focused on already for a while in terms of using hot water on Shabbos. We've talked about the use of hot water, then we spent a while talking about showering and bathing and some of the answer issues about bathing. And so I kind of want to wrap up the entire topic by focusing in on one topic, which on the one hand is very much related, and it's not just related practically speaking in your own potential life, but it's also very much related in terms of the very discussion that the Rishonim and the Poskim had in terms of when you should bathe and the use of hot water, which very much relates to this historic question of mikvah. And we'll see that actually meant much of the discussion about showering in hot water or bathing in hot water, a lot of it actually comes from a discussion that the Yochronim had relating to immersing in mikvahs. And so we're going to talk about that. And I think it's like a good way that kind of sums up some of these issues because we're going to see, a lot of the issues we've seen until now. We're going to kind of cover them again briefly, and we're going to kind of, cap this particular topic. So I'm going to share my screen. And we're going to start. This is kind of the middle of the same source sheet, source number 51. So you can see we've done a good deal so far. We're going to go through now the topic of immersing in mikvah on Friday night, because immersing on Friday night, we're going to see actually has two potential issues if you're Ashkenazi. The first issue has to do with immersing in general. Can you go into the mikvah on Friday night? Forget whether the mikvah is hot. Imagine the mikvah is cold. But can you go into mikvah on Friday night? Why would you not be able to go to mikvah on Friday night? So we saw previously that there's a whole discussion about bathing in general on Friday night or on Shabbos. Can you bathe in cold water? You can't go. We talk about bathing cold water. And so within that discussion, there's also a discussion about going to the mikvah. And Mordechai, source number 51, quotes as follows, that part of this discussion is going to be tied to the following question. There is a discussion in the Rishonim whether or not Tevilah Bizmana is a mitzvah or not. This is kind of background information, but it's important to understand this background in order to get to the next step, which is whether or not there is a mitzvah for a woman to go to the mikvah at the proper time. Meaning as follows: a woman who became a nida, she menstruated, she saw blood, she counted the proper number of days, she counted 7 clean days as Kedat Kedin, she did everything properly. Then subsequently on the night, which is the beginning of the 8th day, or call it the night after the 7th day, that very night, a woman is able to, after having done the necessary preparations for going to the mikvah, is able to go to the mikvah. That tevilah is what we typically call tevilah bizmana, that is tevilah at the proper time. Like the first immediate moment the woman can go to the mikvah, that is the time she should go to the mikvah. And so the question that the Rishonim deal with is, do we say that there is everyone agrees there's a value to going to the mikvah as soon as possible. The question, though, is if you go to the mikvah that very first moment, is it defined to be a mitzvah? Is the actual performance of doing that mitzvah at the earliest time, is that itself a mitzvah? Kind of akin to, davening Shema, saying Shema or Shmon Esrei, where in theory you could say, Shmon Esrei the whole morning until Chatzot, but if you say it within the first 4 hours, then that's considered not only tefillah, the mitzvah of tefillah, but it's tefillah bizmana. You're doing the mitzvah of davening in the proper time, right? So there's both the mitzvah of davening in general, but also the mitzvah of doing davening at the proper time. So likewise, when it comes to immersion in the mikvah, there's discussion about tefillah bizmana. If you actually immerse yourself at the proper time, is it a mitzvah or not? And so the Rishonim say as follows, Pasak Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that tefillah bizmana ain't a mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's not a mitzvah. And we're going to go through his position in a minute. And I'm going to skip to the next position after the three dots. Rabbeinu Chananah, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, pasku de tevilah bizmana mitzvah. But Rabbeinu Chananah, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, they disagreed. They thought, no, tevilah bizmana is a mitzvah. What is a nafkamina? Why? What's the difference between whether tevilah bizmana or ain't a mitzvah? Like, what would it make a difference? So the difference, what?
A mitzvah, then it's more likely you would do it on Shabbos. If it's not a mitzvah, then you're more likely you would not do it on Shabbos.
Exactly. Will it override Shabbos? And not just Shabbos, will it override Avelut? Will it override Yom Kippur? Right, scenarios in which, in general, we're going to refrain from bathing or immersion in water, right? So days like if a person is mourning, if a person is on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av or on Shabbos, in any of these scenarios, if you think tevilah bizmana, that the immersion in the proper time is itself a mitzvah, so then you're going to think to yourself that it's going to be permitted to do so even on Shabbos and even on Yom Kippur and while the person is mourning. If you think it's not a mitzvah, then you will not be able to do so. And so if you look at, if you keep reading, you'll see, v'chein yir the ria or zerua, v'chein nimsa behag, the mutar litbol b'shabbat, mishum tefila bizman mitzvah. So this position that holds the tefila bizman mitzvah believes, therefore, since it's a mitzvah, you'd be allowed to go to mikvah on Shabbos, and likewise, he says a little bit later, v'chein amad davar, the nashim tevot b'shabbat. And so too appears to be the practice, Mordechai quoting in the, I think it's the 1300s in Germany, that the minhag seemed to be at the time that women would indeed go to mikvah on Friday night. However, that's the position of the of Rabbeinu Hanano. What about the other position, the position of Rabbeinu Tam that forbade, that believed that tefillah bizman was not a mitzvah? So Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam says, we skip after the three dots, he says, "Umitochach osa tefillah b'shabbat ubiyom kipurim." Therefore, it is forbidden to actually, because you believe that tefillah bizman is not a mitzvah, therefore it's not going to override any prohibitions of bathing on Shabbos or Yom Kippurim, and you're going to be forbidden from bathing during those time periods.
Well, I can understand why you wouldn't go on Yom Kippur, even if it were technically mutter, because you're not supposed to have tashmish amita on Yom Kippur anyway. So maybe in that case, you wouldn't do it on Yom Kippur because you have all the other issues that come along with Yom Kippur. Plus, it can't help you in any way anyway.
Yeah, that part of this is, I'm kind of avoiding the Yom Kippur in the morning because they both have like other issues involved and not everyone agrees. You could prohibit tefila for other reasons.
Yeah.
So those are just examples that relate to that.
There wouldn't be an overriding reason to overcome the other reasons. You can't have tashmish shining Yom Kippur anyway.
Yeah. So there's a lot to discuss about this, but what I want to make the point clear is that there seems to be some debate already in the Rishon about whether or not a person should be going to mikvah on Shabbos. And indeed, we've seen the source a few times already, but the Mahariel, source number 52, I recorded again here, quotes actually this topic. We've seen it out of context, now we can actually see it again in context, but the Mahariel, who was a very prominent early Rishon in Ashkenaz, living in Germany, who established many Minhagim. If you look at, you know, books like that quote early Minhagi Ashkenaz, so they often quote the Mahariel. So Mahariel quotes, this is source number 52, Yafen no agot hanashim, therefore it is proper that the woman, what the woman do, Shein tovlot shlo bizmana bilei l'shabbatot, that woman who, it's not the proper time for them to go to the mikvah, they do not go to the mikvah on Friday night. Meaning the Mahariel effectively is arguing the following. This will become part of the integral to our question, which is, the proper time to go to the mikvah, in theory, would be right away, right, that very first night. So what happens if a woman missed that very first night? And so the Mahariel argues that if that very first night she can go, then he's going to agree to those postgame. He's going to agree to Rabbeinu Hananel. It's a mitzvah. She can go on Friday night. But if she misses that first night, then what's the status now, right? If, for instance, you miss Shacharis before 10 a.m., right, before the 10th hour of the day, and now there still is a mitzvah of Shacharis, but some other, you know, thing precludes you from doing davening Shacharis for whatever reason, so what's the order of priorities? So the Mahariel is going to say, if you're going to do, you know, tefillah in the proper time, then we're going to say that's enough to override Shabbos. But if you're going to do tefillah at the improper time, let's say, for instance, you couldn't make it on mikvah night, right? For whatever reason, a woman couldn't make it, and we'll talk about various reasons in a minute, but whatever reason, a woman couldn't make it on the proper time, instead she has to wait until the next day for whatever reason. So in that situation, Mahariel says that women should really wait. Ideally, do not go to the mikvah on Friday night. That's the Mahariel statement. Why not? He adds, even though in theory, really, she should be able to go to the mikvah, even though because we hold that tefillah bizman lav mitzvah, and nonetheless, she still goes to the mikvah. So we see that it's not actually tied to that question. Nonetheless, the nashim shalom tavot shalom bizmana, mikom makom, hecha de'efshar, l'mitvah b'chol, lo avdinen ba'ovda lechatchila. If a woman could have gone during the week, then we're not going to allow her to go on Shabbos. Why not? And so we saw this Mahariel several times. Mishum chashash kama yichurin. The Mahariel says the minhag has developed based on the fear of a few various what I called ancillary prohibitions that might arise from going to the mikvah. Prohibitions like we talked about several times, prohibitions relating to chita, squeezing hair, squeezing a towel, potentially carrying the water if you're going to bathe in a river. We talked about potentially borer of cleaning the water. We spoke at length last time before Shavuos, we spoke about all of these ancillary concerns. So Maharil, again, is quoting that this is the context of that comment. The Maharil is saying that this is the basis for why in Ashkenaz, the minhag has become that women do not go to the mikvah on Friday night when it is not the proper time. If it was the proper time to go to the mikvah, then it appears the minhag was for them indeed to go to the mikvah on Friday night. If though they miss the proper time, then they do not go to the mikvah. Why would you miss the proper time? So there's a few different possible scenarios. A woman can miss the proper time because she got busy, because, you know, life is hard and really she could have made it, but like she wasn't trying so hard.
That's
right. Or there could be alternative scenarios where it's not just, you know, life is busy and it's hard, but there could be scenarios where it really was impossible. You know, maybe you were sick, you really weren't allowed to go to the mikvah. Maybe you were, you were staying in a place where there were no mikvahs where you were right now. Right, there are all sorts of reasons that are not just, you know, voluntary. It's just too hard to go to the mikvah, but actually prevent you from going at all.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing in Akron, Ohio, where I grew up. There was no mikvah in Akron then. There is one now. You had to go to Cleveland. So if Friday night was a proper night, you absolutely could not go.
Yeah, and it still exists. Yeah, plenty of places nowadays where it's true. There's just no mikvahs. So there is some discussion in the Rishonim Ashkenaz that differentiate between those scenarios, but there are some that think that even in a scenario where there's onus, where the woman had no choice, she had no ability to go to the mikvah at the proper time, nonetheless, if she misses her night, then she missed it. You can no longer go to the mikvah. You can't go to the mikvah on Friday night. If you missed, like, let's say the proper time would have been on Thursday night, you missed it, even if you were sick or you're just living in a place where there was no mikvah. If you missed it, you've gone, it's too late. On Shabbos, you're no longer going to be able to go to the mikvah. You're going to have to wait till Motzei Shabbos to go to the mikvah. You're going to have to wait a whole extra night. And that's the Beit Yosef, quotes from 63, quotes it from the Agur. Nishal Maria Rav, Maria Lando, Alisha Shira, Zman Filata, Baleel Chamishi. There's a woman who her proper time would have been Friday, would have been Thursday night. The Venensa, there was some type of situation arose where it was impossible for her to go to the mikvah on Thursday night. Im Yechol Lidvo Baleel Shabbat. Can she go to the mikvah on Friday, on Shabbos day? V'heshiv de'en eichol litzvol. And the Agur responded, nope, she cannot go to the mikvah. Once you missed it, you missed it. Right? So the most mockery position of the Rishonim Ashkenaz is to believe that actually once you missed it, regardless of why you missed it, you have missed it, it's too late. There are, however, though, some more, there is quite a spectrum of positions here, because we'll see that actually the Sfardim very strongly disagree with this position. So we keep reading in the Beit Yosef. Beit Yosef, authored by Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the preeminent Sfardi posek. So he writes, continues writing, he quotes all this as he does in Beit Yosef, he quotes all the opinions, and he says as follows, Ve'ein divreihem nir'in li, he thinks all this is wrong. Dechol nashid yidan ein tov l'bishvil yiratan, he says, every single woman is really going to feel at the proper time, exactly when they can, and therefore, the minhag, as I've seen, as everyone seems to do it, is that women indeed do go to mikvah on Friday night, regardless of why they may have missed the previous night, they still go to the mikvah. And he brings a proof to it from the following Gemara. The Gemara, based on the Mishnah, I missed the Mishnah, but the Mishnah, it's the source number 54, the Mishnah in Beit Zah says, quote, records a machloki between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, whether or not you can do Tzvilat Kalim and Tzvilat Adam on Shabbos and Yontif. And the Mishnah records that there's a debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about Tzvilat Kalim and Adam before Shabbos. But Beit Hillel believe that while you cannot tovel your Kalim, you cannot immerse your vessels in order to make them tovel, be allowed to use them. You cannot do that on Shabbos itself. You are, though, allowed to immerse a person. Tzvilat Adam is permitted. And the Gemara then discusses this. This is source number 54. It's trying to give a few different reasons. Why is it that immersion of a vessel, why is it to feel like Kalim is prohibited? So one of the main explanations, Rava says, source number 54, Mipnei Shin Ira Kimitakin Kli. The reason it is prohibited is because when you, sorry, I should scroll down. Apologize. My computer. When you, is that the reason it's prohibited to immerse the vessel is because it looks like you are fixing a It looks like you are violating one of the 39 prohibitions on Shabbos, the prohibition of binyan, the prohibition of building. It looks like if I, you know, am completing the process of the utensil, because beforehand the utensil was not allowed to be used, right? It was allowed, it was physically capable of use, but it, on a religious level, I couldn't use a vessel which was, you know, I bought a new vessel, but it, from a non-Jew, and it was forbidden for me to use it as a, you know, as a cooking instrument until I brought it to the mikvah. Now that I brought it to the mikvah, now it's usable. It's like it's a new vessel. And therefore, that's why Beit Hillel says you cannot do so on Shabbos.
That's perfect. Just to be technical, is that really bona or is it makapapatish?
Yeah, it could be makapapatish. The line here is, the line here is yeah, there's a lot to discuss between the two of them. But yeah, yeah, I was trying to keep it simple. So either way, so the Gemara continues. Iachi adam nami. So then if so, why are you allowed to, why is a person allowed to immerse themselves in a mikvah? Isn't that similarly that a person is like, you know, making themselves new? A woman before she goes to mikvah is tamea, she's forbidden, she's considered to be ritually impure, she's forbidden from her husband. Now after she goes to mikvah, you know, she has a changed status, now she's there, now she is ritually pure, she's permitted to her husband. Isn't that a change that's significant and therefore should be prohibited, just like ritual immersion for a kli is prohibited? So the Gemara says, Adam nira kemekar. The Gemara explicitly says, why you're allowed to immerse a person? Because if a person goes into a mikvah, it doesn't look like they're trying to that they're trying to make themselves new. Rather, since the whole concern here is an issue of what people look like, so people will think it just looks like you're going to cool yourself down. Because, you know, imagine a nice hot summer day. It's very humid in New York. You know, you see a nice big you know, imagine you're in Israel. They have like these mayans all over the place. You want a little tilo, you find a mayan, you find a little well, you dunk in to cool yourself down. And so the Gemara is suggesting when you go to the mikvah, maybe you're going to the mikvah not because you're trying to ritually immerse yourself, but rather simply because you're trying to cool yourself down on a nice hot summer day. And so because there's no problem with marat ayin when it comes to a person, the Gemara appears to be explicit that in theory, mikvah use is permitted, right? This seems to be pretty explicit. So the Beit Yosef actually is astounded by all of these Rishoni Ashkenaz that suggest that that ritual immersion in mikvah is prohibited. He actually has a whole long thing, and I quote only a small part of it. It's actually very long. He goes on quite a rant to argue why in the world is it perhaps prohibited. Of course it should be permitted. There really is no reason it should be prohibited. He doesn't understand why it should be prohibited. So on the one side, in terms of the positions of Rishonim, we have the Sephardi Tzak that believes that there's no prohibition of immersion in a mikvah on Shabbos. All this assuming it's cold water, which is for argument's sake. For cold water, immersion on Shabbos, no problem at all. That's the Beit Yosef. On the other total extreme, we saw the position the Beit Yosef quotes, the Agur, that if you miss your mikvah night, for whatever reason, even if it wasn't your fault, if you missed that first night, that first possible night, then you no longer go to the mikvah. You can no longer go on Friday night. You have to wait till afterwards. That's the Agur. There are, in the middle, there are some other Rishonim Ashkenaz who have slightly more, you know, I guess, intermediate positions between these two extremes. So, for instance, the Trumat HaDeshen, quoted in Darkei Moshe, source number 55, the Trumat HaDeshen quotes the following, Aval kishabala ba'ir, muteret lidvol b'shabbat, afilu shelo bizman, mishum mitzvah pura v'yevya, o mitzvah ona. The Trumat HaDeshen argues that even though he agrees in theory that if you miss your mikvah night, your proper time, then you shouldn't be able to go again, if though you have a compelling reason to go that very night, then you should go that very night. What would be a compelling reason? So the compelling reason to go to the mikvah that night would be if your husband is around, if a woman's husband is in town, and in theory that night, the husband and the wife could have marital relations. Thereby they could fulfill two potential mitzvot, depending on their age. They could fulfill the mitzvah of pru revu, of procreation. They could fulfill the mitzvah of ona, which applies at all ages, the mitzvah of marital relations. And so, since you'd be able to fulfill those mitzvot, even if you miss the proper night, you'd still be able to go to the mikvah. In other words, what some of these Rishonim are dealing with is, why would you prohibit it? So the most stringent position believes that, you know, if you missed it, there's something inherent about Shabbos. You cannot go into water on Shabbos. It's just not permitted, no matter what. There's not going to be any extending reasons to permit it. While others believe, no, Shabbos itself, maybe you could get around it, but it could be, and this is the opinion of the Maharil, this is that position we saw, that maybe if you missed your mikvah night, you know, because you were, you know, a bit lazy, because you weren't in the mood, or for anything of various reason of that sort. So then we're going to kind of penalize you. The reason we're not going to let you go to the mikvah is not because you inherently can, but because we're kind of penalizing you. And this is kind of the case that Truman Zeshan is quoted here in Zarki Moshe is quoting. The case that he presents actually cut off the part of the question, but the case of a woman who had been forbidden for a while. She had been a yoledet, had just given birth, and in theory she could have gone to the mikvah, you know, any one of many nights. And she just wasn't in the mood, probably because she was busy with her newborn child. She didn't have the time to go to the mikvah. And so she waited to go to the mikvah to Friday night because, you know, Friday night you're a little bit more available. You don't have as much work. So it's like she kind of waited till Friday. And so the Rishon Lashon is saying, if you're going to wait till Friday, we're going to penalize you. We're not going to let you wait till Friday. It's like kind of like it's a desecration to Shabbos that you're waiting till Friday to be able to go to the mikvah. It doesn't look so good. So they say, in terms of if you're just going to wait till Friday, that we're not going to let you do. If, though, you had no choice or option, then we're going to allow you against the position of the Agur we saw earlier, which is a little bit more stringent. Or, alternatively, even if you missed it for whatever reason and you're a bit lazy, if now you have a compelling reason that this particular night you'll fulfill some mitzvah if you do go to the mikvah, so you should go to the mikvah. Even though you missed it earlier, you should still go to the mikvah now because your husband's home. The only scenario, according to Shemot Hadeshim, where you shouldn't go to the mikvah is if you missed your first initial mikvah night, and the reason you missed it was because you were lazy, and your husband is still not home now. So to summarize, then what emerges is we have really a range of views. And I know this is not a focus; it's not a shear on mikvah specifically. So I'm not going to go through some of the more naughty details here, but I hope I just give you an overlay of some of the views. On the one hand, you have, you know, one extreme, you have the Sephardi view of Yosef Cairo following the pshat of the Gemara. There's clear permission to go to the mikvah. There's really no reason you wouldn't go to the mikvah. That's the most extreme view. The other side of the extreme, then you have the Ashkenazim, who are all restrictive when it comes to mikvah. Why are they restrictive? For their various reasons, and to the reasons, you know, kind of explain why they are, you know, the extent of how prohibitive it's going to be to go to the mikvah. The most extreme view, we saw the Agur believed if a woman missed her night for whatever reason, she cannot go to the mikvah. We saw the Truman Tadeshin suggested if her husband is home, then maybe then that would be grounds to allow you to go to the mikvah, but otherwise you'd be prohibited. All right, there's a whole range of views here, and it all comes down to this question of, right, how prohibited is it going to be on Shabbos to immerse? But everyone seems to agree, at the very least, that if tonight is proper mikvah night, you would be allowed to immerse in the mikvah. Indeed, that's the way that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, source number 56, Adam mutar lidvon l'tumato b'Shabbat, a person indeed is allowed to immerse in the mikvah on Shabbat. That is the Yosef Cairo, you know, l'shitato, that is the same position. Shulchan Aruch believes there's no reason you would not be allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. You can go to the mikvah for all you'd like. What about, yeah.
Does that mean if the man is like a Haredi, more often Hasidic guys who go every morning?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
The morning after they've had Tashmi.
Yeah.
They're allowed to go Shabbos morning too.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about, yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about the Tefillah Keri as well. Absolutely, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, I want to get there. So that's the Shulchan Aruch, the Shitato, the Shulchan Aruch, you know, being consistent with it's in his own position. There's no reason you would not go to the mikvah on Friday night. If you can go to the mikvah, you should go to the mikvah on Friday night. That's Yosef Cairo's position. What about the Ramah? What about Ashkenazim? What's our position? So, as I'm kind of trying to tease out for you, it's not entirely clear why it should be prohibited. We already saw that there was the extreme position of the Agur, which was really restrictive, but for the most part, the Dark Emotion is very long. I kind of skipped reading a lot of it, but the source 55, if you want to look at it, he spends a lot of time trying to defend the Ashkenazi practice against the Beit Yosef. Right? Yosef Cairo has a very convincing argument. The Gemara says explicitly that, you know, you're allowed to go to the mikvah. Why are all these Ashkenazim being so machmir not going to the mikvah? And so he actually spends a lot of ink trying to defend the minhag. Some of the defense relates to the Maharil's issue we talked about in terms of like the ancillary issues. Some of it relates to penalizing the woman we saw because we don't want her to wait off till Friday. Right, all sorts of reasons. At the end of the day, part of it just sounds like it's really just the minhag developed that way for various reasons. The minhag developed that way maybe because it's dark on Friday night and it's hard to talk about. I'm sure there's like a sociological reason for it. At some point, though, it's really kind of... the minhag developed that way, and then people trying to justify why that minhag exists for Ashkenazim. But that's the way the minhag seems to be. But the The Rama spends time trying to justify the minhag, but at the end of the day, the Rama is kind of his conclusion seems to be, at least, I didn't quote the Rama here inside, but the Rama actually in Yoredeya, seems to say that in places where there is a minhag, then you shouldn't, cannot go to the mikvah, you shouldn't go to the mikvah, except for when it's mandated to go to the mikvah. But for all other places where there is no minhag, then our psak should be almost equivalent to the Sephardi psak, where really you could go to the mikvah on Friday night, if you need to go to the mikvah on Friday night, regardless of why or, you know, you may have missed previously. Indeed, look at source 57, the Archa Shochan quotes as follows, V'nir lehedya dat rabbeinu harama, didato noted v'chol inyan mutarek v'tzvol b'shabbat. The custom for the Ramah's position seems to be that, b'ikaron, in theory, in every single possible situation, a woman will be allowed to go to mikvah on Friday night. V'chein ha-minhag pashut itzlenu, shikulam tovot b'leil Shabbat. And that indeed is the custom we have, that women indeed go to mikvah on Friday night. Af gam k'shayta yechol litvol mikodim ha-Shabbat. Even if she had been able to go to the mikvah beforehand, even if v'chein kishutav la tzricha tefila acheret, even if this tefillah is only a chumrah, right? She really might have been tova before on Thursday, it was good, but the rabbi said, oh, maybe it wasn't so good. Go back on Friday night. Even if it's only a chumrah, even in that scenario, she'd definitely be allowed to still go on Friday night to go to a tefillah. And Aruch HaShochan continues, Obi prat izmanenu shirabim anashim tovlim b'shabbat b'shacharit, af shelo b'tumat keri. And this is especially true nowadays when the practice has become so common that Hasidic men go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, right? Even though there really is no tumah, there's no good reason, halachically speaking, there's a Kabbalistic reason to do so, but halachically reason, there's no actual need for them to go to the mikvah. Nonetheless, they do go to the mikvah, and so kal v'chomer, therefore, if they go to the mikvah, I'm sorry, I keep not going down enough in the page, I forget to, apologize for those on Zoom who are following along. But the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, therefore, kal v'chomer, a woman who needs to go to the mikvah, that going to the mikvah would actually do something, it's significant, she definitely should go to the mikvah. And I, as far as I know, I believe that's the typical psak, at least in modern Orthodox communities, that women indeed do go to the mikvah Friday night. They're not every community passing this way, some people are more machmir, but I do believe that the minhag among Ashkenazim indeed is to be mekel, that even though all of this, there was all this history when it came to Ashkenazim going to the mikvah on Friday night. Nonetheless, I think the standard psak is a woman who can go to the mikvah Friday night should go on Friday night to the mikvah. Any questions or comments so far?
The perspective should also be, I mean, there is, maybe not that mana, but there is a mitzvah in general for a woman to go into the mikvah. So you should facilitate the doing of that mitzvah. I understand the issue is bisman and shabbat, but it shouldn't be like a perspective of penalizing, like the woman is doing a mitzvah. She is still doing a mitzvah. She's still going to the mikvah that she's supposed to go to the mikvah.
So yeah, I think it's about the
community didn't have people going to the mikvah. That would be a big problem. The fact that people want to go to the mikvah, and it should be encouraged and it should be facilitated and not penalized.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I don't think that they're not penalizing, you know, any particular woman. They're kind of trying to avoid a situation where someone deliberately waits every week, every time, till, you know, Friday night, because it's just easier on Friday night. And it's not even about the mikvah. It's actually about Shabbos. I think it's really a statement about, we just don't want Shabbos to be a day where you wait to do, you know, your dishes on Shabbos, or you do all your hard work that's like mutter on
Shabbos. Maybe it's like that's actually appropriate to do it right then. You know,
I think
if her husband's traveling, right?
Yeah,
that's actually it. Maybe she was taking care of her kids the other nights, or maybe that is,
yeah,
like,
I should make
a good time. Maybe I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I thought I'll make the following comment. I think I should make earlier. I'll make it for sure now, which is that in general, there's a very strong value that for a woman to go to the mikvah as soon as possible. Like once the appropriate time arrives, she did all the proper preparations, all the, you know, the proper days of counting. There really is a strong value when woman goes to mikvah as soon as possible. Even if her husband is not around, it's still really better she goes to mikvah as soon as possible. That being said, at least within modern Orthodox circles, most postmen will tell you that if you have a good reason not to go to the mikvah, and a good reason doesn't mean you're sick. It could be even less than that. It could just be, you know, it's a stressful time. You have plenty of kids around, like you're going to have guests this particular night or whatever reason. So most postmen will tell you, like, you should still try, you know, all things being considered, it's still better to go to the mikvah if you can, but it shouldn't, you know, control your life. Now, I'll be honest, Haredi postmen would actually tell you, no, like really, They'll actually emphasize a lot more going to mikvah is like one of these supreme values on time more than anything else, and that should dictate a lot more of your day. I think modern Orthodox posts can tend to not view it that way. But I still think even with that view, even with the view that, you know, going to mikvah is a value, not the only value, but a value amongst a group of many values, which should dictate your precedence of, you know, how you organize your night. Nonetheless, I still think that the argument that they're making that, you know, waiting specifically to Friday night, all things considered, like, you know, if he's not talking about a situation where there was no option. I don't think he's not talking like the kids were so busy. I think he's referring to this fear that, you know, people will inevitably delay until the moment where, you know, they have that free time. Well, yeah, I could do the dishes, you know, in comparison, I could do the dishes on Thursday night, but like, why do it Thursday night when I could do it Friday night and I have no, you know, other responsibilities that night? So that type of fear of, you know, letting just like waiting to do all that work on Shabbos, that animates a lot of halacha in terms of like, we don't want to desecrate Shabbos, desecrate Yontif in that way. But I take your point. I think your point is very true and very, it needs to be said that, you know, just because not every situation of, you know, busyness is not the same thing as laziness. And that just because you're busy does not mean that, that you're like deliberately choosing and, you know, and desecrating Shabbos you're embarrassing Shabbos and not treating it to proper respect. So yeah, I think that's a very fair point. Any other comments? Any from Zoom? Any comments, questions? Okay, great. So that's all with regard to immersion itself. What about hot water? And so I mentioned hot water, and this is really relates to our larger topic we're speaking about last few weeks, which is, in general, we talk about hot water. All of this started really becoming a thing when they were able to really, when mikvahs started more regularly heating up the water. I don't know in the 1500s why nobody was heating up the hot water, why it never was a question, but I'm assuming based on the modern technology, the ability of partially electricity, partially other things, they got the technology to start heating up water, and the questions became very popular in like the turn of the 1800s. It became a very popular question. Maybe we should have heated, mikvahs on Friday night. It's very cold, especially imagine yourself, you know, in like St. Petersburg on a cold winter night. It is very, very cold. It is frigid cold. People are very sensitive to the cold. Women are not going to want to go to the mikvah. Men are not going to want to go to the mikvah, right? Can you heat up the water? Why would you not be able to go heat up the water? So I actually did not quote this again, but we saw a few weeks ago, why couldn't I heat up the water? Well, first of all, you can't actually heat up the water on Shabbos. That's definitely going to be problematic. Heating up water on Shabbos is going to be the prohibition of bishul, of cooking. Like just as you can't cook food, so too you cannot cook water, meaning heat it up. So you wouldn't be able to cook, you know, the water, even if you're not planning on drinking it. It'd be forbidden to heat the water on Shabbos itself. What about, like, the water is, you know, already hot. Let's say, you know, whatever it is, you heat it away before Shabbos, it's still very hot. It retains its heat. Right? Can you bathe in very hot water? So we already saw that there is a gzera of gzera tmer chatzot. This rabbinic decree, we saw this a few weeks ago, that the rabbis decreed that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, even if the hot water was cooked or heated on Friday. Why not? Because the story goes that initially they had permitted you to bathe in hot water that was heated before Shabbos, but the bathhouse attendants, right, the owners of bathhouses, were cheating the system a bit, and they were lying. They were saying that the water that you were bathing in was heated before Shabbos, when in fact they were cutting corners. It was actually heated on Shabbos. And so because this became a very prevalent problem, they prohibited even bathing in hot water that was cooked before Shabbos. And so you're not allowed to bathe at all in hot water on Shabbos. We spoke at length about this, about Yontif, about the ramifications of this. We talked all about this a few weeks ago. Zeret Mer Chatzot. And so, in theory then, that same prohibition should apply to mikvahs. It should be prohibited to immerse yourself in a mikvah in hot water. And so the question really became, what do we do for women who are going to the mikvah in, you know, a cold winter's day in St. Petersburg? This is the right time to go to the mikvah. We believe so strongly it's such a value to go to the mikvah in the proper time. It's so cold. What do we do? So there were a number of rabbis who were given the shaila. So look at source 58. The Chacham Tzvi was given this question. Chacham Tzvi is living in the 1800s, the father of Yaakov Emden, was given this tshuva, sorry, 1700s, was given this question. And he adds as follows, Shasha'alta al-dat ha-nashim she'en na'agot li'tzvol b'liv shabak b'chamin k'darkan b'chol. With regard to those women whose custom became that they would go to the mikvah on Friday night, and it would be in hot water just like it's hot during the week. Right, so apparently there was some custom that developed that it would actually be hot water. So what is his thought? And I'll mention as an aside, the Chacham Tzvi is going to be pretty machmir on this issue. Even though, so I'll mention as totally an aside, Chacham Tzvi probably has one very famous tshuva that we always quote nowadays, which relates to 2 days of Yontif. How many days of Israel? How many days of Yontif do you have to keep if you're an American or diaspora Jew who goes to Israel? Chacham Tzvi has a position that you have to hold only one day. And that's like a very common position people are often quoting nowadays, like the word very makel, lenient position. Very lenient position. So just to prove to you, the Chacham Tzvi, I'm not talking about that issue, I'm just mentioning he is makel on that issue. But you should know, the Chacham Tzvi in this issue, he was more machmir, so he wasn't always a makel, sometimes he's more machmir. It does go both ways. So either on this issue, he's addressed this question of the hot water on Shabbos. So he says as follows. I'm skipping a little bit, skipping the brackets. The brackets are mine, but it's a separate issue we're going to skip. But it says as follows, Ketvila b'leil Shabbat d'chamin v'adai asira aliba d'kul alma. When it comes to immersing in hot water on Shabbos, it is clearly prohibited according to all opinions. And not only is it prohibited, v'ha'overet v'tovelet b'leil Shabbatot d'chamin. Wow, I keep forgetting. V'ha'overet v'tovelet b'leil Shabbat d'chamin v'adai isira agba v'shari l'mikrei avaryana. And not only is it prohibited, but one who goes about and actually goes to the mikvah in hot water on Shabbos will be called an avarian. A woman who does so will be called a transgressor. I still think, I mean, I don't think I quoted it here. I think the tzvila would still work. I don't think he's arguing that the tzvila would be invalid. She would actually be ritually pure and permitted to her husband. But in terms of that's the hilchot mikvah. But in terms of Hilchot Shabbos, she did something wrong. She should not have gone to the mikvah in hot water on Shabbos. And so what should you do? So he continues, he follows this next page. What she should do? She should do what every other good from Jewish woman has done for centuries. They go in cold water. Just as all good, you know, your grandmother, your, you know, for centuries, all went and suffered in the cold. You too suffer in the cold. That's what you should do. And that they argue that nowadays they're sensitive to the cold water. That is words of foolishness, right? He's effectively saying toughen up. I'm not actually misreading this. And he says, the Shomer Mitzvah, lo yedat devara. The verse even says, if you keep the mitzvah, the verse in Kohelet, verse in Mishlei, if you keep the mitzvah, then nothing bad will befall on you. In other words, if you come with pure hearts, God will somehow make sure that the cold doesn't bother you enough, and you're able to withstand the cold mikvahs. That's kind of his first take. He's kind of pretty machmir on that issue. Then he continues, and he says, however, what are the alternatives? Let's say that's too much. So he does give a few alternatives. He says one alternative, oh, tidchet ha-tvila, and motzei Shabbat. Alternative one, she should just delay the tvila until motzei Shabbat, just not actually go to mikvah on Friday. Go to mikvah if it's too cold. Wait till Friday when they're able to, wait till Saturday night until they're able to heat up the mikvah. That's alternative one. Alternative two, oh, tafig tzidat tamayim levar v'lo titchamim achshir shikra lehem mayim chamim. What can they do? What they can do is they're allowed to remove the chill from the water, meaning they can make the water lukewarm, where the temperature is such where it's not called hot water, but it's not necessarily cold water. And so lukewarm water, that would be permitted. That would be a way to avoid this issue, because the Chacham Tzvi are arguing that a lukewarm water is not prohibited when it came to this Beir Merchatzot, this prohibition of bathing in hot water, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. That prohibition was only made for water which is hot water. If the water, though, is only lukewarm, it is not prohibited. And so that is his, I call it the most probably practical alternative he suggests. He does give a third suggestion, which we're not going to discuss, but he does mention a third possibility he thinks you could do is you could go to the mikvah, what's called Bein HaShemashot, between sunset and when the stars come out, I think the word dusk, right? That's the word for it. Dusk. At dusk, you could go to Tevilah. There's a lot of discussion about that, whether we accept that or not. Yeah, there's a lot of discussion about that, so I'm going to kind of skip that possible solution. But either way, his main conclusion, his first solution is really just go in the cold water. If not the cold water, go the next day on Motzei Shabbos. If not the next day, then have water which is slightly heated, right, as in it's lukewarm. And the third alternative would be to go Beinah Shmashot, during twilight hours. That's the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva, as I quoted to you, and kind of like, this is the more machmir position. Likewise, but what does emerge, even though his initial status of Chacham Tzvi was to be machmir, what does emerge though is he does give a very practical solution, which is that the water should be heated to a temperature which is lukewarm, which might not be the pleasant experience, but it certainly won't be unbearable. And indeed, the Noda Behuda, right, a contemporary of the Chacham Tzvi, we've seen Noda Behuda multiple times in this year, Rav Yecheskel Landau, he also was asked this question, and he says as follows, this is source number 59, V'aldavar she'lato b'mikvesh nodim atof achamin, when it comes to hot water on Shabbos, V'ra'iti dato shafilu poshrin lo yu'amayim ashtrak shetafik sinatan, I was asked my opinion about this case, about having lukewarm water, and he agrees, he thinks lukewarm water would be fine. And therefore, he said, "V'chein ani matkir tabalanim kan shiyinu achamin lemikve be'or hayom gadol kedei shibichdei shetechshach ben kach lo yurak pushrim." And therefore, I have the following practical suggestion: what should you do? How should you heat up the mikveh? What you should do is tell the attendants to heat up the water of the mikveh very hot on Friday afternoon, a few hours before Shabbos, so that by the time Friday night comes by, the water will have cooled down already. It will no longer be very hot. It'll have cooled down. It'll be lukewarm. That is the practical advice to how to solve this issue. And in that way, women will be able to go to the mikvah in lukewarm water. How, Mike, is that a raised hand or is that just? No, okay. However, despite the Noda Behuda and the Chacham Tzvi permitting lukewarm water, not everyone agrees. The Beit Meir, an Achron who lived around a little bit later, according to Shulchan Aruch, he writes as follows. He thinks that this entire discussion permitting lukewarm water is actually wrong. He thinks lukewarm water is just as bad as hot water. Right? We said there's a Gzeret Merchasot, there is this rabbinic prohibition forbidding from bathing in hot water on Shabbos, even if the hot water was cooked before Shabbos. And Beit Meir thinks that hot water, definition of hot water in that Gzeret, refers to any water that's not cold. As long as the water, any water that's not cold is going to be problematic, even if it's lukewarm. And therefore he writes, this is source number 60, he says, after the three dots, he says, Harei lehedya she'asur le'erev la'asot poshrin, is forbidden once nightfall comes to immerse yourself in lukewarm water. And that, he thinks, is very obvious. There should be no questions about it. That's the Beit Meir's pesach. What do we do? How do we pass on this particular question? Can we use lukewarm water? Can we not use lukewarm water? So I think that the conclusion for most postgames seems to be that lukewarm water seems to be accepted. In general, lukewarm water would be permitted when it comes to a mikvah. You can look at the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 61. He says, "V'leilech ha'mikvah erev Shabbat shemichashecha asur shemikvah chamah harbe." It's forbidden to go to the mikvah on Friday night if the water is very hot. Because based on this rabbinic prohibition, Gzeret Merchatzot, it's forbidden to immerse yourself in hot water on Shabbat, on Shabbos. Ela yiruk shiyu kiposhrin or cham ksat. Rather, what you should do is you should go to the mikvah when the water is lukewarm or maybe a little bit hot. What is hot? What is lukewarm? So we saw this a few weeks ago trying to define what it is. The Aruch HaShulchan argued, what is lukewarm? It means, kshamayim chamim harbe ashu karov le yatsu ledet. For the water to be considered to be hot, it has to be Yad Soledet, which is around, on the lower level, about 100 degrees. So if the water is about 95 degrees, that would be considered to be lukewarm, which is actually a very pretty hot water. 95 degrees, it's not a hot bath, like you won't leave the mikvah feeling hot, but it's a fairly warm mikvah. It's warmer than most pools, like by significant measure. So according to this, he's pretty mako on this. Others think that you should be a little bit more machmir, so they have a slightly lower definition. But in theory, lukewarm water is actually fairly warm. It doesn't have to be that cold for most postgame. So unless you Paskin, like the Beit Meir, which you need cold water, really most water over, 85 degrees should be fine. 85 to 90 degrees, 95 degrees is probably fine for most situations. And it's in terms of comfort level, it's not going to be like a hot spring pool, but it's warmer than the average pool. It's going to be fairly comfortable even for like a quick immersion. Even if you're like elderly or sick, it shouldn't be so problematic on that end. That's all with regard to the hot water discussion. And I quote also Mishnah Berurah likewise has the same thing. He also paskins the same way. Great. That's all with regard to lukewarm. However, there are those who actually permit the use of actual cold water. Actual hot water. So if you take a look, for instance, at the Divrei Chaim, this is source number 63. So Divrei Chaim is a Sanjur Rebbe. Living in the 1800s, 100 years later. And he writes as follows. He says, at first, it seems to me that fundamentally, really hot water or mikvah would be prohibited. However, though that's true, he quotes Acha Sidre Tara, Mekel. There is a position in Sidre Tara with a significant posek, was Mekel. And he says, he concludes as follows, Kevan Shekein Nagu Gdolik Dorenu Heter Bazeh V'Hanach Lehem L'Yisrael. He says, the minag has become, the Gedoli Dorim, the great sages of our generation, seem to have permitted even hot water, and that appears to be the practice of Israel. And he quotes at the end, he says, V'Hanach Lehem L'Yisrael. He says, let them do as they do. I'll get back to that phrase in a minute. But he says, effectively, the minag really is to actually use hot water. So even though I mentioned until now, this discussion between Noda Behuda Chacham Tzvi versus the Beit Meir, can you use lukewarm water? So actually, there's a third position which argues not only can you use lukewarm water, but you're actually allowed to even use hot water. And apparently that became the minhag to actually go to the mikvah in hot water.
He was not talking about women. That for all of history, when it was women going in the mikvah, and then it seems like this is talking about Israel, or it's not specifically talking about women going to the mikvah.
He's actually probably talking about women here. In this case, it's probably talking about women. The Divrei Chaim is almost definitely talking about women, yeah.
Not men, it's women.
No, yeah. Until now, I mean, we're going to talk about men in a minute, in 10 minutes. We're going to go a little bit past 8. We're going to talk in 10 minutes about men, until now, the discussion really is about women. At the end of the day, women really is the main chiyuv. Like that, when we talk about mikvahs nowadays, men, there's really not a strong obligation for men to go to mikvah. We're really primarily talking about women, at least for now. Yeah, that's an expression. We're going to talk about that in a second. That's an expression from the Gemara. The bathhouse attendants could just be any worker. The worker's not even Jewish necessarily. That's just the owner of the, who ensures the main. I mean, mikvahs in practice are always run by Jewish people, and often Jewish women are in charge of the balanim, but they're not. But in terms of like making sure the water is hot and the maintenance, and that's not the maintenance of a mikvah is not necessarily Jewish even. That's just any maintenance company as long as they're being supervised. So either way, the minhag clearly has become the Sandra Rebbe quotes that the minhag really became the woman did go to mikvah even in hot water. So why would that be allowed? Isn't there this problem of Xeret Merchasot, right? Haven't I been spending the last 20 minutes talking about this problematic that it wouldn't be allowed to do hot water? So why would you have to do hot water? So there are, in effect, two justifications that the Achronim suggests for why you'd be able to use hot water. The first justification, of course, we saw this actually earlier, but we see it again. The Bekiva Eger in source number 67 suggests, he says as follows, Mashma dimista'er mutar lichot afilu gufo bechamim shechmon be'erev Shabbat. If you are in the category of what's called mitzta'er, you are in pain, then you would be allowed to bathe even in hot water on Shabbos. And so Rabbi Akiva Eger, the context is actually not about mikvah, but the Achron suggests, based on Rabbi Akiva Eger, when it comes to a woman who would have to go to the mikvah, and going to the mikvah, if it was cold, would be certainly mitzta'er, would be certainly painful. Nowadays, we're used to having our comforts, but we're not used to going to the freezing, rivers in, middle of Siberia, like, some of the tzaddikiyot, you'll hear those, famous stories about those, incredible women who did that in Russia. People aren't used to doing that nowadays. That's not something we're accustomed to. We're used to going to, comfortable mikvahs with water, which is heated. No one wants to go into a freezing cold mikvah. And so because of that, people are considered to be mitzvah, and are allowed to reuse it to be kiv eger, that it's only a xera, and in situations of what's effectively called a holy, like a type of sickness of sorts, a light sickness, you'd be allowed to go to the mikvah. I mean, sorry, not that you personally are sick, but your the way you relate to cold water is that it's like a type of sickness, it's mitzvah, you're not comfortable with cold water, and therefore, on this basis, you'd be allowed to go in hot water on Shabbos.
Based on the case of somebody who's so in pain that they need to have a hot bath to calm down the pain, but that's the fool. Why are you allowed to have a hot bath? Because you have pain in your body.
So that's so, but keep it generally talking about just generally like general pains. If you're like in pain, you could get a hot bath. So I think the argument is if you're really in pain, that it's like a type of refuah. It's true that you know, general medicine is, there are restrictions for it. Basis. But as long as you're considered to be sire, there tends to be permission to do medicine also. So this is in some ways like a medicinal permission. They're allowed to go to the mikvah because in hot water, because otherwise it'd be very painful to go in cold water. That's effectively the argument. Yeah, please.
Why isn't there a permission to go to the mikvah on Friday night after work? I understand the Xer and Arbanim of ourselves. It's like a month of mikvah. In other words, so many things on Shabbos, Yisuri and Arbanim, Miro Akum, we allow elevators on Shabbos as the Bar Mitzvah on Shabbos. But why would there be a heter of this as the Bar Mitzvah? We won't be able to do.
Oh, so that's actually that brings me exactly to the next point. Thank you. Actually, the very next point is the second reason that people suggest permit allowing you go to the mikvah, a woman to go to the mikvah on Friday night, even if it's hot water, is actually based on the Korban Tana. Korban Tana is the commentary on the Rush, who often is just like a sources, but he actually was like a pusik, and he quotes this one opinion. It's one probably one of the most famous things he ever wrote. But in Torah 68, I quoted it. And he writes as follows: Ubikar adin katavti barichut tefilat mei mikvah bechamin lo havi bichlag gzeret merchatzot. So the Korban Tana argues, in fact, exactly what you're arguing, that really, perhaps when the rabbis made their decree about the prohibition of bathing in hot water on Shabbos, even if the hot water was a bit cooked before Shabbos, so that did not apply to a situation of a mitzvah like going to the mikvah. It only applied to bathing, you know, for tanug or for pleasure or, you know, or the like. But if you're going to the mikvah, then that was not included within the decree. So actually, it's exactly to your point. That's the position of the Korban Tana. I will say that not everyone agrees to that. The Korban Tana is actually a big chiddush. It's actually not the simple way of reading the sugya. The impression we get is that actually the rabbis felt, they probably felt that you could go to the mikvah. I mean, I think back then it was more standard to go in cold water. So when they made their decree, they probably did not make this exclusion for mikvahs. They just made a blanket decree, and it happens to be that nowadays we're more sensitive, but that wasn't part of the initial, you know, permission. That wasn't something they were thinking about. I'm sure if they lived nowadays, you can make an argument that I'm sure now, like, they'd be more willing to make an exception for mikvah. But, you know, back then that wasn't part of an exception, and there's a general rule in halacha that, you know, if there's like zera, if there was some type of decree that was made by a Beit Din from many years ago, we really can't change it so easily. We kind of have to just follow that decree. And so most positions hold that indeed such a decree was made, and it is therefore forbidden for us to go to the mikvah as a result. My computer's dying.
That's a very important distinction because bathing and immersion in the mikvah are two different things. And when the Rabbanan made the gezeira, it was specifically about bathing. And at that time, there were probably a lot of people going into the mikvah for tuma and tahara purposes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem that they extended it, that they weren't talking about that. They weren't stopping people from becoming tahara. That was what was going on at that time.
Yeah, I agree with you both. I think you're right that my intuition would also be that the Korban Tana makes a lot of sense. But it's actually not. It's not a very common sheet. It's quoted nowadays a lot, but it's not. But most people do not agree with that type of argument. Most people really think that rabbis made their creed. They include it to everything, every situation of bathing, every situation of going to mikvah. Because also, if you think about it, their whole decree was not to go bathe in hot water on Shabbos. If you start making exceptions for mikvah was one of the main reasons people did bathe. So if you want to make exception, you know, the entire decree kind of falls by the wayside.
Yeah,
I think that's,
and it's based on the fact that originally they thought people would lie about that.
Yeah.
They were lying about the hot water.
Yeah.
So to prevent that, that applies to mikvahs as opposed to swimming.
That's
going to
create a lot of problems, though, especially in the time of the mikvahs. That was about people not being able to go into the mikvah when they needed to become tahor. That's a whole other issue.
Cold water, it says here.
Yeah.
And especially in Israel, when you had to go to Ben Amigdash, it wasn't that cold.
Yeah, I think in terms of like the, yeah, in terms of, I don't know the sociology of what actually happened back then, but I think it's an interesting question. Certainly Korban Tal is not the most accepted, but the Noda Behuda actually in source 69, he actually does quote the Korban Tal and tries justifying it, because the Korban Tal makes a comment, he says that I wrote about this somewhere about Rikhut, trying to defend this practice, but we don't actually have access to it. So Noda Behuda says, like, we can't just trust you, that you wrote about it, you have good reasonings. But so I have to give my own reasoning to defend it. So he argues, you know, potentially this is different from the general Xera. The general Xera was a concern that maybe on the next morning I'm going to heat up hot water, right? Because otherwise, I'm, like, the water is cold. But when you go to the mikvah, you go to the mikvah, you know, Friday night. So if the water is hot on Friday afternoon, it's probably still going to be hot Friday night. And therefore, there's less of a concern that people are going to end up actually cheating the system and reheating the water on Shabbos itself. So the entire concern was that you're going to cheat. And you're going to heat up the water on Shabbos when you're going to lie and say that it was really before Shabbos. So Korban Tal argued that's not going to be as likely when it, sorry, the Noda Behuda argued it's not going to be as likely if you're bathing right when Shabbos begins. The water is still hot. There's less of an inclination to, you know, heat up the water on Shabbos in a prohibited manner. But either way, what emerges then is that we have, in effect, two reasons in this court against the Jitara. I'm not going to quote the, I'm not going to read the Jitara, but we have, in effect, two reasons. So the fact we have is there are two reasons that the custom is accepted that we are allowed indeed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, to go to the mikvah in hot water on Shabbos, one of which has to do with the fact that nowadays we cannot deal with the cold, right? We have a status of a Messiah, we are pained by cold water. And on that basis, we allowed as a type of, you know, healing of sickness. The question of sickness is like an exception to the rule of Shabbos. So in order to heal, you're allowed to go to the mikvah in hot water. That'd be one reason. A second reason being because perhaps the entire gvir never applied to the mikvah to begin with. It only ever applied to bathing, but not to ritual immersion. That's kind of the argument. And therefore, I'll make two more points about this before I conclude and move on to men. One point being that even if this is true about hot water, the hot water is generally permitted, I think the Avi Nazar's point is very true, source number 71, where he says he admits it is permitted to actually go to the mikvah in hot water on Shabbos, but you shouldn't sit there. You shouldn't start bathing, right? You should go to the mikvah, dunk in and out. You shouldn't be just chilling out in the mikvah and enjoying the hot water. Because at that point, you're really more similar to bathing, right? You don't really have that heter of the Korban Tano, that a ritual immersion is distinct from bathing, right? So if you end up actually bathing, you're just sitting in the mikvah, right? That's a little different. I don't know if nowadays most people bathe in the mikvah. I mean, even if it's hot, for most people, most modern Orthodox people, mikvahs don't feel as clean as like a nice hot bath. But I think Hasidim, some do actually like sit in the mikvah for a little longer. I think depending on who you are and your standards of cleanliness, Avi Nazar is a worthwhile thing to keep in mind. That even if you are going to be in hot water, nonetheless, it's going to be, you shouldn't sit there in for a long time. I want to go back to one point that I mentioned earlier, that this minhag, the Tanz Rebbe Divrei Chaim, source number 63, he quoted that this was the minhag, even though he wasn't sure this should be true, it was the minhag. And he makes the following quote. He says, "V'hanach lehem l'Israel," and allow Israel to do as they practice. And actually, the Noda Behuda also has a similar language where he says, "Mutav shu shogin v'al yumizidin," that Israel, this is the practice. The minhag has become they do this, even though his advice, this is source number 64. The Noda Behuda quotes that his personal advice had been, you know, use hot water on Friday afternoon, and by Friday night, the water will have cooled down to only be lukewarm. However, the custom had become such that people actually did use actual hot water on Friday night. And so he says, I turn a blind eye to this practice. That's what he says. That's what Nodibu says. And he says, why am I allowed to do this? Because Mutav Shushogin Bali Mazidi, it's better that they do something by mistake, and also they are intentionally, deliberately transgressive. And these, both of these expressions, Hanach Lan Yisrael and Mutav Shushogin Bali Mazidin, are two expressions that are used often in halachic situations where the halachic system seems to conclude you should do X, but the practice seems to do we do Y. And in these situations, the rabbi said, let the custom stand as it is. We're going to let the people stay with Y, even though we think X makes more sense. And I bring this up because there are two ways that they make this comment. One way they make this comment is they use this expression, the Noda Yehuda used, which is called Mutav Shushogin V'Alyu Mezidin, which is meaning that it's better for them to do something unintentionally, even if it's wrong, than for them to be deliberately wrong. Meaning, if I, for instance, were to tell someone, it's forbidden to, let's say I know this person is going to, eat at McDonald's. And I go up to them, I'm like, hey, by the way, it is forbidden to go to McDonald's. So in that situation, we might say it might be better, what's called Mutav Shushogin V'Alyu Mezidin, maybe it's better I don't tell them, I don't say anything, because if they're not going to listen to me anyways, at least all they're doing is they're doing something, without knowledge that it's wrong. If I tell them it's wrong, now not only are they going to do it, but they're going to do it, knowing that it's wrong. It's now considered to be like intentional transgression and not just unintentional without knowledge. And so, in effect, the argument is that if the minhag is to do Y, even though we think you should do X, so we're going to let you do Y because we don't think you're going to change your mind and actually do X. But really, you should really be doing X. You really should do what we think is proper, but we're going to let you do the wrong, behavior. That's the way the Noda Behuda quotes this rule, meaning that Noda Behuda thinks really you should use hot water, you should use lukewarm water, but we're not going to stop you if you're going to use hot water. However, there is another way that this same expression appears, which is not Hanach Len Yisrael, Mutav Shushogin Bayu Mezidin, but the expression is Hanach Len Yisrael, Im Ein Nevin Heim, Nevim Heim, that B'nei Nevim Heim. That the expression is that we trust Israel's judgment, not because we think that they won't listen to us, but because actually we're making this argument about Minhagim, that even though our texts seem to conclude one way, we actually trust Minhagim, and we actually believe that you should actually do the other practice. That the Minhagim have value, they have Torah, there is something very significant about Minhagim, and therefore we're going to let you do it, not because we think you're wrong, but actually because we think you may be right. And that even though our sources suggest you should do A, or you should do X, nonetheless, you should stick with Y, do what your minhagim have always been, because that is the correct practice. And so those are two very different, impressions as to whether or not the minhag that you're doing, is it ideally the right minhag, or is it ideally the wrong minhag? And both of those expressions begin the same way, Hanach Lehen Leisrael. And so I'll just point out, the Noda Yehuda's version was clearly the version of Mutav Shushogin V'Alyu Mezidin, that he doesn't think it's ideal, really should stick with the lukewarm water. But within the Devar Chaim, his language was just Hanach Len Leisrael, and he doesn't finish the statement. Which leads you to the question, does this mean Hanach Len Leisrael, Mutav Shushogin V'Alyu Mezidin, like the Noda Yehuda, ideally you really should use lukewarm water and not hot water? Or is he saying Hanach Len Leisrael, and the end of the statement, Im Ein Nevin Heim, B'nei Nevim Heim, that we trust Israel's judgment, that the minhag is correct, follow the minhag, and hot water really is the ideal practice. This is something he doesn't actually address. I'm just pointing it out. It's an interesting factoid. It's not actually clear how he concludes on this matter. So to summarize then, what emerges is that when it comes to tefillah in hot water, the practice is, when it comes to tefillah in hot water, when it comes to going to mikvah in general, the practice is that women are allowed to go to mikvah on Friday night, no exceptions, even for Ashkenazim. That seems to be the general practice. In terms of hot water, we saw that there are three approaches. One approach said only cold water, nothing else. The approach of Noda Yehuda was allow lukewarm water. And then we saw a third practice, which allowed even hot water. And the claim was that that was the minhag. In practice, I will tell you that even though it's true, many poskim do think you could go in hot water. In practice, many mikvahs are not built for individuals. They're built for communities. And so in practice, even though there is what to rely on using hot water, many communities because we want to kind of have this base standard allowing our whole community to rely on the mikvah, so many communities actually don't use hot water for that reason. So what they do is, and I've heard this of the Upper West Side mikvah, and I think it's many mikvahs, is what they do is they do what the Noda Yehuda suggestion was, which is to use lukewarm water. So they'll heat up the water on Friday, 2 hours before Shabbat, the water will be nice and hot. By the time Shabbat rolls around, the water will be lukewarm, it'll be a few degrees lower, and that way it won't be hot, but will still fulfill the opinion of the Noda Yehuda. Meaning, in other words, that we may accept that that really you could use hot water, but because in practice we are a community, we're not just individuals, we have to kind of be acceptable to everyone in our community, and so we're going to be a little bit more machmir when it comes to mikvah, and we're going to make the water lukewarm and not super hot. Any questions about that? Okay, great. So I want to spend the last 5 minutes just briefly talking about immersion for men, because until now we've only been talking about immersion for women, but I want to just briefly talk about immersion for men. Because you think to yourself, right, immersion for men is less of a chiyuv than immersion for women. Women is an actual chiyuv, deoraita, there's an obligation to go to mikvah, to become Torah to your husband, right? Otherwise, she was ritually impure. So there should be there's actual halachic value. Well, for men, it stemmed from an original gzera in time of Ezra, but they got rid of that gzera, and nowadays it's a Hasidic practice, mostly based on a nice idea, it's some type of Kabbalistic idea. There's all sorts of reasons they do it, but there's no actual halachic obligation. So in some ways, you would think that would be better. But actually, in some ways, you know, that would be worse, meaning that you'd be less likely to permit going to the mikvah on Shabbos, especially if it was hot water. Nonetheless, though, actually, the poskim intuition is most poskim is to actually be more mikil when it comes to men going to the mikvah. Why? Because ironically, if you remember from the very beginning when he talked about going to mikvah, this is not the hot water issue. This is in general going to the mikvah. We talked about the fact that the Ashkenazim were concerned about the fact that going to the mikvah looks like you're doing something, like you're changing yourself. Like the real concern of the Gemara was that why is it prohibited to immerse a utensil in a mikvah on Shabbat? Because it looks like you're fixing the utensil, you're making it into a usable utensil. And so the Rishonim Ashkenazim say, when it comes to a nida, when it comes to a woman who's ritually impure, if she goes to the mikvah, she too looks like she's changing herself, she's now becoming ritually pure. But ironically, if you are only a tefillah keri, if you are a man going to the mikvah for some chassidish reason or the like, you're not actually doing anything. And so when you're going to the mikvah, you're actually doing even less. And so since you're not really doing anything, therefore, they're going to be more likely to permit it than going for a mikvah for a woman. So ironically, the way it's going to actually work out is that more postmen are going to permit a man going to the mikvah than a woman going to the mikvah, because since a woman is actually doing something, it looks like it's more problematic. When a man goes to the mikvah, it looks like he's just dunking, and it really should be as problematic. I'll mention as an aside, not everyone agrees with that. That is the position of most Acharon. We can see the quote in the Mishnah Brura. He quotes that. However, others disagree. The Gra prominently disagrees. He thinks, no, tefillah for a Baal Keri should be a lot worse. It should be there should be less permission than it comes to a woman. And therefore, if you're going to take a look at source number 73, I quoted Dirshu is like one of these companies that have like on the side of the Mishnah Brura a bunch of like very modern postgame where their positions are. And so they quote from a number of like modern postgame. There's a edut of from the Chafetz Chaim and from the Rav Chaim Yivlajin, that they would and Rav Yashiv that they would all go to mikvah on Shabbos. However, at the same time, Rav Yaakov Kanievsky, the Chazon Ish, based on the position of the Gra, would not go to mikvah on Shabbos because they believed that it was worse than the issue of nida. That by a nida, you may have more halachic reasons to permit going to mikvah in general. When it comes to a Baal Keri, they felt all these issues of going to mikvah are still going to be relevant and are not going to allow you to permit going to mikvah, immerse yourself in cold water on Shabbos if you are a man.
All of this
is with regard to cold water. This is just cold water immersion. What about hot water? So I just quoted to you at the very bottom, 74, it's a Shevet HaLevi. The Shevet HaLevi quotes, and this is my last thing, and I'm going to end for tonight, but the Shevet HaLevi quotes that he actually thinks it should be a suffix. He's actually a little bit unsure about this. He says, in theory, you're right. It should be, Alan, you're right, that there's no reason that a man should have the excuse to be able to use hot water, maybe they'd be able to use, you know, a line in the note of Yehuda when it comes to lukewarm water, but hot water really should be no permission. He says, like, he doesn't understand why a man would be allowed to go in the hot summer in Israel, would be allowed to go in a hot mikvah. Like, that doesn't seem right. If you're going to go to mikvah, you know, in the summer in Israel, right, you really should be in a cold water, right? Cold water is more refreshing. Like, there's more, it should be a lot more sense than going in hot water. It should be less of a hetzer for it. Well, the computer just died, so I guess that's the end of the recording for those on Zoom. But anyway, I'll summarize here that at the end of the day, I think that many mikvahs for men are actually also heated, and they're relying on the same on some of the same kulas that we just mentioned earlier. They're relying on the fact that for men, if it's too cold, they won't go out to the mikvah, and also that that could be even for men, you have the same korban natanel position that ritual immersion in general isn't part of this gzeirat merchatzot. You know.